Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
And now, two guys that no one expects, it's Mos Eisley Radio.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Mos Eisley Radio, episode 11. I'm just one of your hosts, Brooks Guthrie. Joining me, as always, my fantastic cohort, Zach Brown. Zach, what's up?
Hey, what's up, dude? You know, it's kind of weird because I feel like we haven't done this in a month.
I know, it's only been 2 weeks, but there's been such like...
I don't know if it's because there's so much news, or if it's because of the holiday season, or if it's because...
I think it's just about everything. You know, we've had Thanksgiving and a little bit of a break since we recorded last. We've also had this huge onslaught of information about the Old Republic. I say this nearly every episode, but I couldn't be more stoked for this game.
I knew that. Okay, we're like 35 seconds in, and you've already explained that you're excited. So
I've already said stoked, and there's just more words like excitement and stoked and all that stuff to come.
We need to come up with like a pool every week that people could like put money in on how long it's going to take you to how long you will go before you mention that you're excited about this game.
Well, I mean, what's not to be excited about?
I guess that's true.
Let's be honest here. So, with that in mind, we may as well just go ahead and jump in and start to tear all this stuff apart. So, here we go.
This just in, Terrace is under attack by a Sith fleet.
The Sith Empire is now a serious threat for Ace.
As the war presses on, the Mandalorian blockade stands
for. Citizens and dignitaries are urged to seek shelter as the planetary bombardment continues.
Well, I think the best place to start is with our final two classes. So this is a whole roller coaster of release, if you will. Nearly right after we recorded the last episode, maybe 4 or 5 days, a German PC magazine leaked this article about the final two classes for the Old Republic being the Jedi Consular and the Sith Inquisitor, which rounded out our classes with 4 Force users.
Everyone was kind of like, the speculation prior to that was, will they go with 4 or will they go with 2? No one really knew what they were going to do.
Yeah, and we had talked a couple episodes with Christian Sorrell of 4 Story Gamer about how we weren't really thinking it was going to be 4 Force users.
I kind of think it was one of those things where a lot of the people involved in the community right now and a lot of people that are following the game right now at this point, we're kind of hoping for something a little bit different just because we wanted to see that it looked like there was a lot more variety involved with it. And I think initially when I saw this, I was just kind of like, meh. Like, I wasn't disappointed, but I wasn't like gung-ho excited about it.
Yeah,
but I think I've had some time to chew on it, and I think I'm okay with it. For some different reasons that I came up with, I think the main before we get in and talk about the classes, like the big concern is well, there's now half the classes in the game are going to be Jedi classes, and it's like, won't that be kind of ridiculous that half the classes are going to be Jedi classes and half aren't? And I think the thing that I kind of came up with was kind of like, it makes sense because I feel like when this game gets released to the masses and like. It'll probably, like, the popularity behind the game right now is probably a tenth of what it will be once it comes out.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like that. And I think the common factor among a lot of new players or new people interested to the game is just going to be, I want to be a Jedi. And, like, this kind of makes it to where people have the option of being a Jedi, and you're not just going to have, like, 90% of the classes running around either being a Jedi Knight or a Sith Warrior. And it kind of divides that up
among
Unity.
Yeah, so well, there's a whole slew of reasons as to why the community was kind of, or bits of the community were upset about this to begin with, as well as why BioWare went with this decision. You know, they did a poll a number of weeks or months ago that asked, you know, basically what type of class you're going to be playing. And nearly 60-65-ish, I think, percent said that they wanted to play a Force user, or a Jedi, yeah, more or less. And so with these two classes, and we'll get into you know, their role in the game, which these magazine leaks have done a terrible job of representing what exactly they're going to be doing in the game.
Since then, we've gotten a lot more. Like, they officially released information, I know, on the counselor. On
the yeah, but like, you know,
yeah,
if,
at the time,
if you introduce some more Force users, you kind of split up that 65-ish percent.
So
you don't have
325 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
You don't have over half of your player base running around as the same
in one
class. Yeah,
which is really bad for, especially if you're trying to design a game to where it makes it to where, like, you can fluctuate between what type of players, like, you can fluctuate more easily as to what players you can include in your party, so that way you don't have to worry about, like, you have to have this role, like, this player doing this role of a character. So that way you don't get bogged down into spending a half hour trying to find, like, this one specific thing. I think you really want to make it to where you can do whatever you want and group with whoever you want, no matter what character you're playing. And I think, like, if everyone was either a Jedi Knight or a Sith Warrior, it'd be really hard to balance that game that way, because it's just kind of like, oh, look, four Sith Warriors partying together, you know?
Yeah. So the consular is up on the holonet, and we've got the Darth Vader information that they were able to get from both the demonstration when they went out to LucasArts, as well as a one-on-one interview with Jake Neary. And I would definitely invite everyone to check those out if you haven't already. But I mean, the big thing that I want to draw from this is that the magazines that leaked information kind of presented these two classes as healers / mages / warlocks, kind of.
They did a really terrible job. Assuming that this is going to work the way every other typical MMO in the past.
And that's really not the case. You know, Darth Vader got a hands-on with the Inquisitor, and the Consular is going to play very similarly. And what they ended up finding was that there is an emphasis on force or on ranged force, you know, you really had to get in there with a lightsaber to be really effective and not have to just sit there and blow all your cooldowns every time. Yeah. You know, the Sith Inquisitor has this really interesting style of gameplay where you have no auto attack, which I'm not really worried about, you know, but because there's this balance of abilities. So you have abilities that spend your force, which you can basically just consider as mana, and you have abilities that give you that back.
Yeah.
So there's this push and pull, and, you know, kind of like
and
rogues.
The point, or the abilities that would give you points back are melee-focused abilities, which require you to go in and use
your
lightsaber and fight like a Jedi, even though, you know, your most of your damage is going to be based around force powers. It still makes you get in the thick of things, and you're not just like totally standing in the back and just not doing anything.
Yeah,
you're in danger, so to speak.
Yeah. So the Inquisitor has an emphasis on lightning. You know, his modeled a lot
lightning,
off Palpatine / Darth Sidious. What were you saying?
Lightning, real lightning.
Yeah. And then the Consular has an emphasis on kind of mind control ish, if you will, in a quote unquote light side kind of manner.
Yeah, I mean the iconic figure they're kind of playing it off of is Yoda, so to speak.
Yeah,
I mean, think of Yoda in the original movie. He was just like, he had all these telekinetic powers where it was like he could lift this ridiculous spaceship that was like maybe 100 times the size of him and stuff like that. And like, they're really going to emphasize those kind of powers, I think, more with the Consular. And they're really going to separate that from the Jedi Knight, to where the Jedi Knight is going to be all like about being a master swordsman.
Yeah. Whereas, yeah. The HoloNet entry for the Consular, the combat videos shows us the second example of Z axis, which is the up and down axis abilities. You know, the bounty hunter before has Death from Above, where he flies up with his rocket pack and rains down blaster fire. And the consular will actually pick people up and drop them.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty cool looking ability. And I'll be interested to see how it plays out in a lot of things.
I feel like both of these two classes are going to be really good. I mean, they're going to be good DPSers, but at the same time, I feel like they're going to be really good support classes in terms of crowd control, because not only does it talk about you getting individual CC abilities, but you get massive CC abilities.
Well, this is the transition I was looking for, because you know there's been a lot of talk, especially because of the PC magazines that classified the consular as a healing class.
Yeah,
and there's been a lot of talk about the Trinity. We've addressed it before. You know, the Trinity being tank, healer, DPS. And, you know, you and I have both had a conversation about how we feel that BioWare wants to allow any combination of classes to get together and go do something.
Yeah.
And my interpretation, based on what we've seen here with the Consular and Inquisitor, this has really kind of come to light, is that they're doing kind of a Trinity thing, but it's not based around healing. It's based around damage mitigation in the form of crowd control.
Yeah. So I see what you're saying. So it's kind of like, I mean, you've got to know what you've got ahead of time, and you've
absolutely
got to adjust to that on the fly. So like if you've got guys in the group, it's going to really change the way you think of approaching stuff. Because typically people think, oh, you've got a tank going, group everybody up, everyone DPS them down. The healer focuses on healing the tank and then keeps the DPSers alive. That's not the case here. The case here is going to be kind of, you've got to evaluate what your group is, and basically, you want to CC the guys that you're going to come in contact with. And then the ones that are available, take those down as you see fit. So that way, you're managing the fight and it's more tactical. It's
what Darth Vader and some of the other folks saw with the Inquisitor, we know that for the most part, the minimum number of mobs you'll be fighting at a time is 3.
So this has got the City of Heroes effect very much too.
Exactly.
Which is cool. A lot of people like that about City of Heroes, where it really does make your I have a good friend of mine that always expressed this, like he couldn't stay in World of Warcraft because he was like, you just fight one mob at a time.
Yeah.
And he's like, that doesn't seem epic to me. It's just like one guy, that's it. And like he would talk about in City of Heroes how you would go and fight a group of guys at a time. So when you think about it, even if you're looking at something as like the trooper, but you're like the best of the best in the troopers, or just a Jedi, like a Jedi slices through hundreds of droids at a single time. It's like he'll take them on and it's no issue. And they understand that. That's what really makes those characters stand out as heroes and not just the normal everyday kind of pawns in the field. So instead of you just fighting one clone trooper and then that trooper having a chance at like gunning you down as a Jedi, which doesn't seem realistic, you have to fight maybe like a whole little platoon of them or something like that, which is a cool approach.
Yeah. So what they saw and what we have with the Inquisitor, and this is going to translate directly to the Consular and to other classes in different ways. But say you approach a group of 3 people, you've got abilities that might be able to put one to quote unquote sleep for the duration of the combat. You've got one that can kind of knock it out for some short amount of time. You kind of disable. And then, you know, your third guy is the one you go full force with from the beginning.
Yeah.
And then you approach the second guy who's kind of been put out. And then you take care of the last one. And both the Consular and Inquisitor have kind of pushback effects. That, you know, if stuff gets way too heavy, you know, they can kind of throw everybody back a little bit, get a little bit of a knockdown / stun, and then, you know, start over and go through the whole thing. So this is, you know, while the Consular and we now know the Smuggler both have healing abilities, I think the strong emphasis on crowd control is how we're going to be approaching the Trinity, if you will.
You know, the interesting thing about this that I'm kind of anxious to see how they're going to separate these two new Jedi classes from the other two is the story.
Absolutely.
Because I really feel like they go hand in hand. Like, the one thing we've already talked about with the Jedi Knight is kind of like the struggles a Jedi is going to have to face, like following his code, following his order, kind of like giving up the things in life to walk the path that he's chosen. And while that's very true for the Jedi Knight, that is also going to be equally true to the Jedi Consular. And it's like, I'd like to see like how they're going to separate these two stories out, how they're going to make them both kind of different, because I don't really picture them as wanting to do the same thing over, like, they don't want to repeat the same story, so to speak. But it's kind of like, really, they're the same. It's like they're almost like they're both pieces of pie, maybe just slightly different filling, so to speak. So it's like they have so much in common, but I guess
just I get what you're trying to say, and I think the differentiation there is going to be who they have stated is the influence for these classes. You know, whereas as a Jedi might obviously be influenced by Luke Skywalker, a Consular is more influenced by Yoda, who doesn't have the same approach to combat, and whose story is obviously very different, even though they both follow the same religion of the Force.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about the Jedi Knight, it's going to be more of like a dispatch type character, where the Jedi Order will say something like, there's Sith here, we need you to go there and confront these Sith, whereas maybe the Counselors are more of a more based around meditation and figuring things out, and maybe the storyline isn't going to be so focused on just direct conflict with the Sith, because maybe the style they want to portray as Counselors is not so much just the straight up brutal warriors. They're more of the finesse kind of characters.
Right. And you know, the I think the Inquisitor is definitely, and I'm getting the impression the Consular will be the same way. The Inquisitor is definitely going to incorporate a lot of the political intrigue, with its direct influence being Senator Palpatine / Darth Sidious. I'm really excited about these two classes, not necessarily because I want to play them. I don't really have any interest in doing that. But I'm excited that they've introduced these and have kind of split up the Force users, and so we're not going to see 300 million Jedi or Sith warriors running around.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird. I don't know how you feel at this point. Like, I'm going to have to hear how the storyline is going to play out for all the the final two classes before I decide what I'd like to play. But the interesting thing is, I think the double bladed lightsaber is only going to be wieldable by these two classes, right?
We don't know that for sure, but this is the first time that we've seen a double-bladed lightsaber in like a combat video. And interesting note from the conversation I think we had last week about design and stuff, the double-bladed lightsaber for the Consular is not tapered. It's got a straight up and down design. Which looks sick, by the way.
Yeah.
The animations on the HoloNet are just gorgeous. So I don't think we know if the double bladed is going to be limited to these two classes, but I would bet
they seem to be emphasizing it with these classes, though. They seem to have emphasized it more with these two classes.
Oh, absolutely.
At least I've noticed that. I might have missed some older screens and stuff like that, but it seemed like with the older classes, you just saw either they carried two single-bladed lightsabers, or they just carried the one single-bladed lightsaber. Mm-hmm. But this is the first time I feel like I've seen... we've always assumed that they were going to be part of the game because they were in the older KOTOR games, but I think this is the first time that I can remember seeing double-bladed lightsaber on any character being based around these two. So
yeah. I don't know. I think it's pretty cool. I think the other thing that we forgot to touch on, you mentioned very quickly, is there's no auto attack. So as in a lot of other MMOs, WoW comes to mind, especially playing as like a warrior. You know, you walk up to a mob and you right click and he just starts hitting him nonstop. That's not the case with, I'm assuming any of the classes, but specifically the Inquisitor is where they saw it. But the interesting note is, while you may not have auto attack, there's all kinds of different animations that go on when you do just kind of a regular melee attack with your lightsaber. So the guys over at Darth Hater said that you'll hit anywhere between 1 and 4 times with like really smooth animations between. And say you kill a guy on like the second or third hit, you won't like continue out that animation like you would do in a game like WoW. You know, it stops and it finishes.
Well, I even think about it, like we were playing recently, you and I, Star Wars Jedi Academy. It was like old time memories right there, playing Capture the Flag. But it's kind of like you would do a saber thrust, like one of your super powerful saber thrusts in game, and you'd like start spinning around, and then you'd kill everyone, but your guy would still just keep doing it. And it's like, okay, that's ridiculous. It's really, them taking the steps to do this kind of thing just, it just shows the amount of detail that they're putting into it.
And that said, what's next? Smuggler class trees. So, there's a couple things to pull out of this. We now know that each class is going to have 2 trees inside of it. And there is a certain point in your story. I think I said this last episode. I'm not sure. But there's a certain point in your story where you kind of make that decision which path to go down. So,
This is going to kind of, I don't want to say drastically, but it kind of seems like that is going to change the way, the play style of your character. And like the example they gave us was the smuggler. Were you going to say something?
No, go ahead.
Okay, the example they gave us was a smuggler, and at a certain point in the game, you're pretty much going to get the choice to become a gunslinger or scoundrel. And I'm just going to say I like the title gunslinger because, I mean, there's nothing cooler than saying, that guy's a gunslinger.
Yeah. You know?
But basically, the gunslinger is going to focus on dual pistols, long-range weapons, and persuasion abilities, whereas the scoundrel is going to focus more on short-range, stealth damage, and field medicine. I mean, that's kind of the extent of the information they've given us, but one thing we do know is that each tree is going to be highly customizable. It's not like just because you pick one tree, you get all the points in it, and that's it. Like, there's going to be custom ability within that tree. And also they express that there's going to be a way that you can kind of like change back and forth. You'll be able to easily. So that way, if somebody's looking for someone specifically, you can go that route. But they said it's not going to be something they're just going to give you immediately.
Right.
So like if someone's looking for this specific person for their to fill their role in their party and you're not that, it's going to be kind of like, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a, like they do something similar to what World of Warcraft does and allows you to have multiple talent specs and you can change on the fly, but you have to go through a lengthy process in order to get that. Well, I wouldn't say WoW is lengthy, but that's a different game. We're not going to touch that. But I wouldn't be surprised for them to offer something like that. You can become a scoundrel if you were a gunslinger and or vice versa.
Yeah. We have the mention of field medicine as well. And I think their approach to that was, we have a lot of classes that are going to be basically interchangeable with each other, more or less. And, they wanted to give the smuggler, at least one tree of the smuggler, something at least kind of unique to them that's going to allow them to be particularly useful maybe in a couple certain situations. We don't really have a whole lot of details on what field medicine is going to mean, but I think you can kind of draw some conclusions based on what they called it and what class is using it. But like we've already said, I think the emphasis on healing is definitely not going to be nearly as strong as the emphasis on crowd control. So there's not necessarily a whole lot more to draw here other than the fact that we now know that we've got, 2 trees, 2 choices per class, and each is going to kind of be a balance of one another and allow for different play styles within each class, which is a good thing, something that we've kind of come to expect in some other games. And I like the approach that they've taken here. So do you have any other thoughts on smuggler? Does this change? I know you had talked about playing a smuggler at one point.
Okay, I'd love to touch on all the classes at some point. I think the smuggler, it looks interesting. I think if I were, I mean, I haven't made up my mind. Like I said, it's all going to come down to whatever my primary class would be, to what the final two stories are like. But I definitely am interested personally in the gunslinger route.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something, it just looks interesting. The persuasion abilities, they kind of mentioned it might allow you to unlock new things in the storyline. It might allow you to approach a situation differently that you once couldn't, or that you couldn't have if you went a different route.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're playing on a different character. I think things like that just sound kind of interesting. So I'm kind of interested in the gunslinger smuggler role, but
yeah,
as time goes on, who knows?
Yeah.
So talking about smugglers is this news kind of came out when they talked about the smuggler, and that was companion characters, because obviously the smuggler is based off of Han Solo, and everyone knows Han Solo's companion character would be Chewbacca. And so we got a little more information on how companion characters are going to work and what to expect from them.
Yeah, so this is pretty cool. This is one of the things that, as anybody who listens to the show knows, I've been very curious about, because they introduced this a long time ago and have yet to really talk about it. So they've given us kind of some general insight on companion characters and then went ahead and showed us two companion characters specific to the Sith Inquisitor. And that is very important in and of itself. So each class is going to have its unique set of companion characters to choose from.
And from what I understand, like, you basically have to, like, earn the right to have these as your companion character.
I think so. I'm not totally clear on that. But we're going to have multiple to choose from, as in KOTOR. You had a number of companions that you could take out with you. However, you only get one at a time, as opposed to the three, I think it was, in KOTOR. So, that's kind of interesting in and of itself. You know, you can have a couple companion characters going along, helping your story along. You could have one that maybe helped you with combat. You could have, if you're a smuggler, this comes to mind, you know, one that you're kind of pursuing a romantic thing with, if that's up your alley. But what we saw specific to the Sith Inquisitor, which I thought was pretty interesting, were two different approaches to companion. So the first one is named Kim Val, and he's a Deshade, which is this big, ugly, burly dude that kind of reminds me of, I can't remember the name of the race, but the really ugly, stupid people in Fifth Element. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't remember what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm sure anyone.
It's been so long since I've seen Fifth Element.
Yeah, I'm sure most people can hopefully get that reference.
The big, ugly, stupid people in Fifth Element.
Yeah. So his unique thing is he soaks up force power from enemy users. So this also shows us that the Inquisitor is definitely going to be fighting other force users at some point. That's going to be maybe an integral part of their story.
I wonder how valuable that character will be if you're fighting just a bunch of normal troopers.
Yeah, who knows? Probably not, which is you know, probably why we have the ability to switch them out.
Yeah.
So the unique thing about him and the way he affects the Inquisitor is it allows the Inquisitor to take a more ranged approach. If you don't necessarily want to get up with your lightsaber all the time, you know, the fact that he kind of soaks up force power and neutralizes other abilities kind of allows you to take a less active role, which is cool if that's your thing and that's what you want to look for in combat. And the other one was named Zalak, I think.
It's kind of based off of a Darth Maul type.
Yeah, he's a Kalish who's based on Darth Maul and is definitely like the crazy DPS dude. Gets up there and, you know, just pumps out damage. So we have the two here who have kind of different roles. And I'm assuming there's going to be more than two for each class. We're not positive on that, but pretty sure. And, you know, I guess you can kind of guess what other class companions are going to be like. I can't really think of anything specific.
You know, the one thing that I've been thinking about that I'm kind of wondering, though, is like, how are companion characters going to play out if you're partying with other people? Is this something that you're only going to be... Did they say this? Is this something that you can only have if you're by yourself?
No.
So, like, they're partying... They haven't given us the specifics on how many people you can party with at this point, but let's just say it's, like, six. Can you have six companion characters along with six...
I know this is in this interview. Sorry. Stick with me. I know that... here we go. So, Darth Vader talked about how BioWare is looking to use companion characters to solve the, you know, the looking for group problem.
Yeah.
It's
basically going to work a lot like how Guild Wars works, where you want to get a group, but if you can't, it sounds like, then you can take NPCs with you to fill in the roles.
Yeah. But I mean, this, we are allowed to have companion characters active within a group.
Okay. I bet you there's a group cap, and I bet you if you meet that group cap, they will not allow you to have companion characters. But like for however many people you're under the cap, they'll allow you to have that many companion characters to go along with you.
Yeah. And they didn't mention anything about PvP, which we know will be in the game, but they didn't say anything specific to companion characters in PvP. But we do know for a fact that for all aspects of PvE combat, you'll be able to have a companion with you, whether you're solo or in a group. So, I mean, this kind of affirms a lot of what we thought earlier about companions. You know, I think we discussed this a number of episodes ago.
Yeah.
And as far as I remember, that's kind of the approach that we were thinking they would take, you know, allowing companion characters to fill out a group so that, you know, even though basically every class is interchangeable, say you just want to group up with a buddy to do some quests, you can make it easier on yourself by both of you pulling out your companions.
Yeah.
And then that's just another way that the classes will be able to work together. You know, I could have one type of companion who does one thing, maybe buffs me and you, and then you can have another guy that just, like, does DPS.
I guess I'm not, like... See, the companion character thing for me, I'm just not too excited about. I think because I feel like it's just going to be an... It'll be cool to have, but a lot of times in the past, when I played games similar to this style and things like that, it seems like the NPCs are just kind of like they're there, but they're not good enough, so to speak. I guess mostly the game that comes to mind is Guild Wars, and it's kind of like you could get so much more experience if you didn't have the companion characters with, well, in that case, the NPC characters with you. It'd like reduce the amount of experience you got for killing guys, so therefore it kind of slow down your leveling process, so to speak. Because you could almost do it just as well by yourself than having those guys tag along with you. Or you could get guys that are your level. Because most of the time it was like the NPC characters were like two or three levels behind you.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see how they play this out. Like, is this, as you level up, will your companion character level up with you? Or will he always be kind of like behind to encourage you to party with people and use players? Like real players over NPC characters. I just don't know how this stuff's going to play out, but I'm skeptical of this working because just like I said in the past, most NPC characters are just not that good.
Yeah.
It seems like they're just an alternative to not having to deal with other people, and they make it to where it's doable, but it's not the best way to go about it.
Well, I mean, you draw a comparison to Guild Wars, but I think it's even more important to draw a comparison to Knights of the Old Republic, where companion characters did work. You know,
the thing about Knights of the Old Republic, though, is that is a single-player game. So
yeah.
You have to play... I mean, you don't have the option to go and play with other humans.
Right.
Whereas you do in this game, and I think they want to encourage you to go play with other people.
I think so, too. But I think... I think they're doing companion characters both to bolster your story for the people who want to do that, as well as solve a lot of the problems in other MMOs, Guild Wars, World of Warcraft, everybody, where you've got two, three people together who want to go do something, and you're stuck finding you know, stuck trying to find another couple people to round out your group, I can't necessarily see them penalizing you for not being able to find someone else.
It's not so much penalizing. It's just the kind of the whole notion. It's like, well, I could do this by myself, get more experience and level up a lot quicker to maybe move on to a new area instead of having this guy tag along with me that only just slightly increases my, I guess you'd say, killing speed, so that way you kill guys faster, and then it halves the amount of experience you get.
Yeah, well, I mean, Jake did say specifically, talking about the Inquisitors, you know, say you've got a couple Inquisitors together, but there's like some big mobs that you want to take on. You can use the companions to round out your group. And, you know, so it sounds like they're going to add significantly to your ability to take on content and not be a burden, help you.
That sounds like a good role for it, especially when I think of a lot of quests in World of Warcraft that were centered around, they weren't really big, but they were kind of like you had to have 3 or 4 players to do it. And they would tell you that in the quest log, like suggested players 3. And this gives you that option to where you can do those quests by yourself. Right. That kind of sounds like what this is, what they could focus on with these companion characters.
Yeah.
I'm just skeptical of it until I see it in action, I guess, mostly just based upon how Guild Wars work. Although KOTOR got it right and like Dragon Age gets it right, but then again,
exactly. those are both BioWare games.
But they're not MMOs. And like it all comes back to just like how bad is it going to hurt your ability to level? Like how much is it going to reduce the experience you get for using these companion characters? Whereas that doesn't matter in a single player game because you don't have to worry about keeping up with other people or other players. And you don't have to worry about, I mean, you can really do it at your own pace. Whereas you can do the same thing and have the same approach in an MMO, but when you're playing with other people, it's hard not to want to keep up with other people, other players that you're friends with just because you want to do stuff together. And so like, if that's the trade-off for it, then I'm probably going to not use competing characters unless if I absolutely have to.
True. And I don't want to run this into the ground. We can move on. But, like we've said before, BioWare isn't an MMO developer previously to this. And I think that fact could allow them to implement companion characters in a way that, you know, doesn't detract so much from your ability to level and to keep up with other friends that you're playing with. At least that's what I'd like to think. And from, you know, their talks with Jake Neary, that's kind of the impression I'm getting. But, you know, like you said, we have yet to see the real nitty gritty details on how it's going to work. That said, we got some more general information, just kind of a bunch of hodgepodge of stuff that's kind of interesting. So we saw in some of the videos, like different colored quests, we found out that, blue quests are kind of side quests and yellow quests are main story quests. These are like really nitty gritty details, but kind of interesting nonetheless.
Yeah, but that's kind of good. So that a way you can separate as to what is, because a lot of times some games, a game that comes to mind recently is Borderlands, where it was so confusing in the quest log, you forgot what was the main story and what were all the side quests. Because sometimes you just want to do side quests for a bit, and then you're like, okay, I want to get back to the main story. And then it's good that they're separating that out. So that
also
makes much easier to achieve.
It also didn't help that didn't have a global map. That was really brutal. But one thing that it did have, and it looks like BioWare is going to include this in The Old Republic as well, is like a quest helper system. So I guess this was included in Warhammer to begin with. I never played Warhammer, so I don't know. And came in the form of a plugin Warcraft. I'm getting everything all mixed up. But you have basically quests are there. The UI is going to point you in the general direction of where you need to go to complete a certain quest. And this, you know, kind of prevents the need for the thought bots and the wow heads that say, here's a whole bunch of possible locations and creatures that drop stuff. Some people, I guess, might think this would detract from the experience. I think with their emphasis on,
I mean, you know, you it's an option. You can turn it off if you don't want, or you don't have to use it. It's just, it's going to pop up eventually, whether they put it in the game or not. And so I think they're just saying, well, we might as well put it in the game our own way. We don't have to do it on our terms and go on and establish
that. And I think it's the right thing to do. Because it allows you to just keep progressing and not getting bogged down on trying to find where something is. Looking for stuff.
Or minimizing the game constantly. It's like, what are these coordinates? Or where's this at on the map? And then trying to estimate. And that's not fun when you get into those kind of situations.
Some of the other things that we found out, there's a call shuttle ability, which is basically like a Hearthstone or Astral Recall. That allows you to pull out a data pad, and then it shows a planet where you're kind of saved to, and it allows you to go back to that planet. Which is, again, things that we kind of come to expect.
Standard.
New facial cosmetics. Companions are going to be summoned and dismissed, kind of like pets for hunters. So kind of on the fly. As well as like revive and things like that. And a couple other things. Like I said at the beginning of all this, definitely head over to Darth Hater and read all of these specifics and check out some of the other sites, as well as the HoloNet entry. All really important stuff. A lot of great information here that, as always, has me super stoked for the game. I think on that, let's move here.
I heard a new ship from the Outer Rim just landed in Docking Bay 94. I wonder what kind of stories they have.
You have no idea.
Stories from the Outer Rim. So, we finally got our second release rumor. This one might actually hold some weight. So, another piece of news that was sent out a couple weeks ago was that... July.
This was sent out on the
This was an official thing. So in the summer, this upcoming summer, I don't know if we have an exact date.
I thought it said it was April.
No. This is like summertime kind of thing. BioWare is gonna be compiling along with Dark Horse is gonna be compiling the entire Thread of Peace comic into a book, a paperback. At least they've said it's going to be paperback so far.
It says it right here. Already online fans are aware of the Thread of Peace serialized webcomic written by BioWare's Rob Chesney. This April, Dark Horse Comics begins collecting the comic into a 96-page trade paperback.
Well, yeah, they begin. So I'm assuming it's probably not going to come out till maybe June or July.
Okay, yeah, next July.
Yeah.
We'll publish a hardcover.
Exactly. Again, that's the important part.
Doing is taking the entire Thread of Peace comics and then they're combining it into one thing. And like when we had Deacon on here a long time ago, he was talking about how he was just going to stop reading the Thread of Peace.
Right. Until it all came out.
Once it was finished. But here's where the thing is. And where the rumor comes into play is there's speculation that, this might be released hand in hand with when the game releases,
right? Or
really close to the launch, because that would be the perfect time to release this when it's going to have all the publicity.
Yeah, well, it's going to be all the publicity. You know, it gives them the opportunity to easily do kind of like a special edition boxing of the game. So you get the game, you get the trade paperback of Thread of Peace. And you get this new hardcover, you know, beautifully published book by Sean Williams this package that, you know, we've seen a lot of other publishers do in the past.
The thing to keep in mind is, too, is like the game success this is going to help the book releasing side by side with the game more than it's going to help the game.
True.
And because of that, that's why this rumor seems like it holds more weight to it, because it's not like I don't feel like this is going to be something a lot of people are just going to run out and get.
I agree, but it is one of those things that people historically have gone out and gotten. You know, there is that group of gamers who really loves not only the game but the books and, you know, the figures and all that kind of stuff. What?
I mean, you really don't, I can't think of any examples where like merchandise was sold before the actual game came out.
Well, exactly. And the fact that this is coming out then could be, you know, sign that we'll be seeing the game then. I don't know. I'm still not totally sold on this. I think,
I mean, this could easily, it's a publishing thing. It can easily get delayed. It might be ready, or they think they might want to release it by July, and then they might find out BioWare is like not going to release the game till October, and I guarantee you that they'll probably hold it off.
Yeah. It gives them an out in case the game's not ready. And I think, you know, there's still a couple things to happen that are really going to affect the release date, namely game testing.
Yeah.
You know, BioWare and its employees are playing a game, a very polished, finished-ish game every single day.
Think you can even speculate on when you think the game is probably going to get released until you start getting into deeper beta testing phases.
Exactly.
Because as of right now, no one really knows.
Exactly. So they can speculate, but until it gets out on a massive scale and, you know, they have a lot of users testing very specific things, I think there's no way to know when this game is going to be released.
And that's what I'm trying to say is, like, I think even though this sounds like a good idea on paper, this comic book is shooting for a July release, so maybe the game is going to be around then. I really don't think that's something you'd want to take to the bank, just because it just doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, yeah. BioWare is going to release this when they feel like it's ready. They're not going to release it just because this publisher is wanting to release the book then. And I think the book publisher, Dark Horse, is going to wait until the game is releasing, because that would be the smartest move on their behalf, to have it go side by side with the launch of the game. That way people will be aware of it. The game will be kind of like the buzz of the online community, gaming world community or MMO community, and they'll just start looking for all this merchandise and stuff like that. So, I mean, take this for what you will. At first, it's like, yeah, ooh, that sounds cool. But then when you start thinking about it, I don't know. It doesn't seem that viable.
That's why it's still very much a rumor. And, you know, thankfully, we're not officially affiliated with BioWare, and we can talk about this stuff. And I think it's exciting. My money, if I had to bet on anything, is that we're going to get game testing sometime early next year. We'll probably get a good announcement around Christmas time. And that we'll actually hear a relatively tentative release date at PAX East. That's where my money is.
I think PAX East is going to be more of like the announcements of betas. And I think we're going to get like a more of a release date around E3 next year.
Yeah. Two different opinions. I know I'm right, but that's okay.
Yeah, whatever.
So we had a poll last week. That we had a fantastic response to this poll, almost twice as many people as in previous polls. So thanks to everyone who came out who came to the site and voted. And we asked just kind of a general question: what faction will you be playing once Tor launches? And the options were Sith Empire, Galactic Republic, obviously. And we threw on, I plan to have characters on both sides as well, just to see. And I was incredibly surprised, because more or less, it's pretty much split even amongst the three.
Yeah, I kind of thought that the Sith Empire was going to become the new
Horde. Alliance.
Because like when you think of WoW, everybody wanted to play the Alliance. And you always hear how Alliance outnumbers Horde. Like,
yeah, that's true.
5-1, 6-1, something like that. And the tone among a lot of people in the online community for SWTOR is kind of like Sith. And yeah. I was like, oh, this is going to be a landslide for the Sith. But I'm really glad to see that it's kind of like a 50-50, and then you've got like 27% that's just like, yeah, I'll probably do both sides. It really doesn't matter, so to speak.
This goes to show you just how different the Star Wars community is against some of the other types of games. Because, you know, typically the quote-unquote bad side will attract the hardcore players and will have a slightly smaller player base. And the quote-unquote good side will have more players. But I think the fact that Star Wars is such a huge, huge franchise, along with the ability to, you know, make both light side and dark side choices, whichever faction you're playing for allows us to be a lot more split up. And I think that's good for the game, and just makes it more fun. You know, you're not having a whole bunch of people on one side and a whole bunch of annoying people on another side, you know?
Makes for balanced servers.
Yeah, it makes for balanced servers. It makes for more fun play, more variety of people to play with. And, you know, we could speculate all day about Endgame, which I don't think we had the time to do. But, you know, I think this is going to make Tor a longer game in terms of how long it's going to be popular and stuff like that. Yeah. So that's my impression. Take it what you want. But again, seriously, thanks to everyone who came out and voted. We'd love to get the community response, if you will. You want to go on to some questions?
Let's do it.
Yeah, we had, again, a huge pouring in of questions, and as always, we love to answer them, and we've answered a lot of them already on the show, but we kind of want to address them individually here. So the first one comes from Axe Factor, a regular question asker, and we thank you for that. He said, since the last two classes aren't droid or pet classes, do you still think that we'll be able to have customizable droid pets, or do you see them offering companion characters like the dog in Dragon Age, which, by the way, I agree, is amazing. I hope they don't stick us with a single option.
Yeah, excellent dog for me.
Yeah, I like being able to switch back and forth. So, as we said, specifically to companions, we're going to have multiple companions to choose from and be able to switch them in and out on the fly, or at least relatively on the fly. What's the dog in Dragon Age? Do you know anything about this?
It's like, oh yeah. Like, I started off playing as a human character, and you get a like pet dog, which is just like this giant beast. And it's basically just like, it's a tank. And it has dialogue, and its dialogue basically consists of dog noises and barking and moaning and things like that. It's really funny.
Yeah.
But I had it just for a little bit when I played my human noble character, and then I started over as a dwarf. And that's what I played pretty much from there on out. And I never got the dog companion character after that. I found out there was a way you could do it, but I just never got it.
Oh, gotcha.
So I really haven't played it with it that much, but I am familiar with what the dog is. And it's just kind of like one of those things where it's just like, it's a different way. It shows emotion in a different way. It's like a lot more through expressions and not so much through dialogue.
Gotcha.
Like that. So it's kind of fun to have in the party.
So knowing what we know about companion characters at this point, do you think we'll see like droids or pets introduced as like non-combat pets? Do you think that's something BioWare would do?
I think it's something they would do because it's very popular in the online community.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people like that. I mean, it's not like overwhelming, but I think enough people like it to where it's something they definitely look at. I don't know if it's kind of like going to be one of those things where you can only have it out if you're like in a city or something like that, or if you're in specific zones, but I definitely don't see why they would rule it out. I can't think of any reasons why it would be a hindrance or anything like that. It'd be even kind of cool, like if they could introduce some non-combat pets, like a droid or something like that, that gave you just a buff.
Yeah,
that'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah, it would be a different take. You know, we've seen non-combat pets all over the place, and you know, with the way that classes or with the way that companion characters are going to be in this game, I don't think there's anything that would stop them from doing droids or, you know, little womp rat or something like that as a excuse me as a non-combat pet. Sorry, but. But yeah, that I would imagine it's going to be one of the very last things they talk about.
So next question is comes from Darth Revan 72, and he says, do you think it is possible for a Sith warrior to work for the Republic, maybe light Sith or dark Jedi-like characters? And I kind of think they pretty much ruled out at this point that it's going to be possible to change over to the light, like the light side if you're a dark side character, or to the dark side if you're a light side character. Pretty much once you choose a faction, you're locked in that faction. you'll have like a moral compass and it'll adjust based upon things that you choose, but you will always be a part of that faction, no matter what.
Yeah. Locked into faction, but you do have the option to make light or dark side choices.
Yep.
Jord just sent us an email, I think like today, and he asked us, in developer interviews, people have asked about character customization, and they have barely said much other than that it won't be as intuitive as Dragon Age Origins, but there's been virtually no discussion regarding race or species. So, there has been some little bits about character customization, but I guess at this Lucas event that Darth Vader and a bunch of other people went to, they didn't touch on it too much. There's been rumors of...
they're keeping really hush-hush on this.
Yeah, there's been rumors of, like, sliders, but not necessarily, like, you know, varying size and things like that, or shape. But, you know,
I definitely don't see why they couldn't do it, though.
Me either, but we really don't know. As far as races, though, we don't know any specifics, but we have this clip from Sean Dahlberg from PAX that Darth Vader grabbed in an interview. And I'll just go ahead and play that, basically confirming that we're going to have non-human species as playable.
Do you think you're going to play a human class, or are you going to play an unconfirmed alien?
I'm going to play a species.
Oh, maybe any hints? Please? Come on, come on, let's get a world exclusive.
One that's not human.
Wow, you guys heard it first.
So, we don't have any specifics, obviously.
It's not human.
Yeah. Like George said in his email, you know, we've seen Twi'leks and Calamari and Keldor and stuff like that. Those are my best guesses. First off,
yeah, I would agree with that. I'd say look at some of the other stuff BioWare is releasing, especially with the comics and things like that, and some of the pivotal characters that are in the storyline there. And
right,
like look at the races those characters are. And I think it's definitely something that you can kind of tie together. Probably just have the basics that you've had in a lot of Star Wars games in the past.
But yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll be there. I really do.
Oh,
I think that this is like on their priority right now of things they want to release. The next thing I think is just we've gotten a lot of the big question stuff out of the way now, and I think now the next thing they're going to focus on is combat and gameplay.
Yeah, I mean, Jake Neary has said that specifically. You know, we spent the last year more or less talking about combat and talking about story. And you know, it's one of their four pillars. And now at this point, we're going to kind of transition into combat. You know, if you noticed in our talking about Inquisitor and Consular, you know, most of our discussion was about, you know, the specifics of combat. And that just goes to show how BioWare is kind of transitioning in their release of news. But guess what, Zach?
What's that?
We have our first audio questions. Two of them.
We
don't
have our first. We've got two this week. Yeah, first off, thank you guys for sending these in. We really appreciate it, and this is the first time.
Yeah. So actually, our first one from our buddy Ben, who's a Ben Nighthawk on the forums, is actually kind of the same question as the last one, but I want to play it anyways because it's awesome.
Hey, Zach. Hey, Brooks. This is Ben Nighthawk from the forums, and I have a couple questions for you. The first question is, now that they have released all the player classes available in the game, what do you guys feel are going to be some of the playable races in the game? And are you looking forward to playing something other than a human? My second question is, do you feel, as I, that it may get real old, real fast, having the Sith Inquisitors run around the game singing the Inquisition song from Mel Brooks' History of the World, Part 1? Just saying. Thanks, guys. You're doing a great job. We all love the show. May the Force be with you.
Huge thanks to Ben for the question.
Oh my goodness, that would get obnoxious very fast.
That would.
All the more reason why you want to be on the light side. So every time you run across a Sith doing that, you just jab him in the jugular with the lightsaber.
Yeah.
Quick thrust right there. It's so over.
As we said, we don't know any of the classes. I mean,
you have to kill him. Just cut out his vocal cords. You know, that's you're doing humanity good at that point, right?
Yeah, totally. So as we just said, we don't know any of the races, but if you had your ultimate choice, you could choose any race to play in the game, what would it be?
based on looks alone, I like the Keldorans, but Mon Calamari.
Oh yeah,
that's the one race I want in the game.
Huh.
I need a button that I can just spam over and over, and it'll just be like, "It's a trap!" Just over and over. It's like you're on a starship, and then we're getting ready to open up the door, and someone goes to open it. And I'm like, "No, wait! It's a trap!"
Yeah. God, I don't even know. I guess Keldor is probably one of the common ones.
A Gand would be kind of interesting. That's what Zuckus was. He's a bounty hunter. I know you know who Zuckus is. You've seen Robot Chicken Star Wars where with Conan O'Brien. And Conan O'Brien is Zuckus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember Zuckus.
He looks like an insect.
Yeah. There's so many races in this game.
I know.
God, I always thought it would be cool to play as a Hutt, but I don't see them as playable classes.
You wanting to play as a Hutt.
Isn't that just appropriate?
Kind of funny. I don't know why.
I think it'd be cool to be an Ithorian too.
Yeah.
I would put money that the Mon Calamari are going to have Ithorian companions.
You think?
I think so. That's where my money is. But yeah, probably. Probably Keldor, maybe Jawa. That'd be so cool.
So next audio question.
Next question is from Sunny Ravencourt, which is an awesome name. I don't think it's his actual name. I'm pretty sure it's not, but it's awesome. He asks us,
like a street somebody would live on.
Yeah, Sunny Ravencourt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Live on 1235 Sunny Ravencourt.
Sunny Ravencourt.
Awesome. Anyways, he asked us about the Trinity.
Hi there, this is Sunny Ravencourt, and I have a question for you guys at Mos Eisley Radio. Do you think that now that the last classes have been revealed for the Old Republic, that BioWare is looking to be essentially following the mold of Warcraft with, it's hard to say a Warcraft clone, but using the Holy Trinity, only bringing a BioWare level of storytelling to the market? Or do you think that BioWare still has a lot of tricks up their sleeves that's really going to distinguish themselves from the current champ? Thank you very much. You guys have a great show.
So
what are your thoughts?
Well, we talked about this earlier, and in the way that BioWare is going to be doing the Trinity with a twist in the whole damage mitigation / crowd control thing.
There's not like and also the fact that there's not really just a healer.
Yeah, and you know this was one of the huge things on the forums just after all this stuff leaked. You know, there was so much misinformation about healers, quote unquote, and you know, like a lot of these healing abilities apparently have huge cooldowns, and like the in combat heals,
not like the type of thing that you could just depend on.
Exactly,
I mean, and oh my goodness, I need to use this real quick just to get me through this moment, and then that's about it.
Exactly. While certain classes are going to have healing abilities, I don't see them following the traditional mold.
Yeah, I don't see them following the what you would call as the typical MMO Trinity, just because I think they're wanting to break the mold. I really do. I mean, it just the way that they're presenting these characters, it's not like you feel like any of these characters could do any of these roles. Like you feel like it could be a tank, it could be a DPS, or you feel like they're gonna make a way. Like you never picture the smuggler, for instance, as a way that it could heal people, but then they're giving it this field medic capability. I really feel like they're making it to where each class can not only stand alone, play by itself, but you can just like stick it in as a group, and then it's just kind of like, okay, you know, we're all playing together now, so it's not like we have to be ridiculously organized. You can kind of just go in and play as a group and just roll through the level, like right, whatever it may be, and make it to where it's more like you said, it is more about mitigation and things like that, and less about, okay, I have to just focus on healing and that's it. Because it's honestly, it's like we all want a DPS. We all want to fight stuff.
Yeah, of the day, everybody just wants to hit stuff really hard.
I know. And I mean, like, when you think about World of Warcraft, some people like healing and enjoy it, but I feel like in my experience, especially in in-game, most people don't, some people like tanking and some people like healing, but most people are just like, I'll do that, but I'd rather just DPS, like if I could, just because I just want to fight stuff.
Yeah.
And I really feel like they understand that and they're coming up with a system that allows you to just be able to do that. And basically you protect yourself, so to speak.
Yeah. You know, we spent a lot of time on this episode talking about specifics and abilities and stuff like that. But it all boils down to the fact that BioWare is looking to make an incredibly exciting, combat-heavy, fun game that is set in the Star Wars universe. And, you know, what's more awesome and Star Wars than getting a group of people together, maybe having a couple companions along, running into battle, you know, just like throwing this dude up against a wall, putting this guy to sleep, and then shooting some other dude in the head. You know, if you're a smuggler, walk up, kick a guy in the crotch, and headshot him. You know, that's awesome. And, you know, for all the nitty-gritty details that we can talk about, that's the essence of what's going on here. And that, at the end of the day, is what gets me super stoked.
So how stoked are you for this? I'm going to start tallying. Actually, somebody wants to tally how many times Brooks said he was stoked, excited, or something along the lines of that. This episode, I will give you something.
I've had this reinvigoration of my love for gaming since I've put together a new rig. And I'm just really excited about what BioWare is doing in taking a different approach on the MMO, not trying to make a true WoW clone. You know, there's this kind of funny interview with one of the Blizzard devs, and he said, you know, don't make our game. It's a bad idea because it's not going to work. And that's what a lot of people have done in recent years is look at Blizzard and try to do the exact same thing. And it's a company like BioWare, in my opinion, that's going to be able to take the idea and tweak it a little bit and put their unique twist on it that's going to make this game successful and be able to exist in the same world of Warcraft. That's not what I meant to say. And it's going to make it a fun game. It's going to allow us to all enjoy everything the way we want to. All
right. So I think that's going to about do it.
I think it is going to about do it. A couple things before we finish here. Thanks to Sith Agent for taking the time to leave us a review on iTunes. We sincerely appreciate every single person who does that.
If you want to contact us, send us MP3 questions, feel free to do so at mossisleyradio@gmail.com. You can always contact us on Twitter at twitter.com/mossisleyradio. Or you can always jump on our website, leave comments in the comments section, or just join us in some good conversations on the forums.
Yep, as always. Also, I've been looking to get Sato from Darth Vader on, probably next episode, hopefully, if their schedule lightens up a little bit. I think it'd be really cool to talk about both their trip to LucasArts and, you know, kind of what it's been like doing this whole news site about the Old Republic. And, you know, a lot of the information that we talked about today was from their interviews that they did with Jake Neary at LucasArts. So, huge thanks to every single person over there. You know, I've spent a lot of time in their vent over the past couple weeks. Really cool people, and I'm glad to have them as part of the community. Also, Zach and I are kind of thinking about going to PAX East, maybe?
Possibly. So, I don't know. We gotta work that out.
Yeah. We just want to kind of drop that. Just to, you know, put that on the radar. And yeah. So you have anything else to add, Mr. Brown?
I have nothing.
Cool. Well, I think that is gonna do it for us this week. Keep an eye out for the next poll. And let us know what you think. Pass it on to a friend. Yeah. Well, thank you for it. Take it easy.
Take it easy.
Peace. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Mos Eisley Radio, episode 11. I'm just one of your God. I feel like it's been so long since we've done this. All right, here we go.
Take the carrot out of your mouth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Mos Eisley Radio, episode 11. I am just one of your hosts, Brooks Goeth. Why can't I say my name?
Okay, I'm totally going to do it.
No, I got it. Hello, everyone, and back...
Oh my god.
I'm
done.
All right, here we go.
Come back tomorrow.
Round two.